What is up, sisters and brothers and all my kind of friends?
All my kind of friends out there. Y'all, I let Christian take the intro because he really wanted to throw in bros. So what is up, bros, listening to this podcast? We have
And Christian. She paid me $5 to do
that. I did. I paid him $5 to be on my podcast again.
No, just to do the intro.
Yeah, really, just for the intro.
You couldn't afford me for the episode, but you could afford me for
You are the biggest diva I've ever had on this show, by the way. Just hey, so you know.
The ratings speak for themselves.
Whatever. Mom gets more ratings than you now.
Well, that's not true.
That is true.
Because y'all talk about deep. Y'all clickbait.
Well, come on, bring the deep. No, we don't. We have quality content.
Quality content.
You
bring clickbait titles.
Our content backs up all of our clickbait. When we put
in
sex
episodes.
In the title, we talked about sex, okay?
Put clickbait titles in my podcast, or my episodes.
Okay, I'll let you pick the title. I'll let you pick the title.
Skyrocket.
I'll let you pick the title. Oh my gosh. Y'all, every time we have Parker and Freddie on this podcast, we feel some kind of freedom to have arguments all throughout the morning. And this is part of it. Yeah. So we have Parker and Freddie back on the podcast because so many of you guys loved it last time we had them on. They're two of our best friends. And we actually went to the DMs and got a lot of relationship questions and questions that we felt were kind of applicable to things we walked through in life. We're talking about moving places, talking about just having the courage to make friends in new places, and also relationship stuff. But I thought we'd kick it off with a deep relationship question. Okay, so in all relationships, there are things in your relationship that it's like a hard step to cross over, right? It's like, this is a point in our relationship where someone's gonna have to break the ice. Mm-hmm. Someone's gonna have to bring it up. Someone's gonna have to go there. And it's always like, who's gonna do it? Well, my question is, how, when, and where did one of you fart for the first time?
I knew that's where this was going. I just knew it when you were
setting it up. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. Some people are out there and they're uptight. They can't breathe properly because they're holding it all in. And they're like, how do you break this ice? We've all been there. Okay, you can go first, Christian.
Well, I'm not the best for answering this question because we're almost... What, like 5 years in?
Yeah, but go back.
But I'm saying I've still never out loud farted in front of you in 5 years.
Oh my gosh, that's the biggest lie ever.
This morning, I know.
Maybe not today.
Here's the thing. I actually fart in front of you so much, I don't remember the first time.
I know. I've become so immune. I don't even laugh anymore, which is kind of weird.
That's not true. You do laugh.
Sometimes.
Depends on the tone.
But not.
The length.
Sometimes I laugh.
The setting.
But it's not often. Most of the, and you know what? I was like the most like open person to that. I was just like, hey, like never hold back, that kind of thing. But now that we're married, I'm like, okay, actually stop. Like it's like too far.
But there is, so this might be too much information.
It probably is.
Care. But for me, there's a difference between like farting and like audibly like blowing up the bathroom. Like, I still get nervous about, like, like loud poops.
You do get nervous.
I do.
You do. You're
loud
like...
Poop.
I don't know why, but it's like, I'll fart so loud, but then, like, in the bathroom, there's something different about, like...
But it's so weird because I can't
me.
Even see you in there.
Yeah, but it's something about the door being shut and being like, I still hear it.
Privacy makes it awkward.
Down the hall, through the door. It's like, that's just embarrassing.
I can't. So
but
Christian's not
I remember
really
the first
had
time,
that problem. But I remember
the first
for me,
time Sadie
I was
me,
really, I actually was so
We were
so
sitting
nervous.
On a dock.
Well, yeah, okay. I was so nervous because I have been like holding it in. So we started dating in July. This was May of the, well, we met in July. We started dating in September. This was May of the next year. So I'm like, time has passed, you know? And if
well,
you.
Keep in mind, you had been strategically.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everybody does. Everybody does. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't fart in front of them. It's just like, do they know you did? That's whenever it reaches
yeah,
the line.
Yeah.
So. And actually, whenever I did, it was such an accident. That was so funny. We were like sitting on a dock and overlooking the ocean one morning.
Yeah, we're about to go on a fishing
trip. Yeah, overlooking the ocean.
Yeah, but it was early, which, you know, your bowels are always kind of messed
up. Yeah, it was early. And I don't even know how it happened. I was just like talking. Then all of a sudden it just like happened. And then I was like, whoa. And like, there's like no hiding it. And we both started laughing so much, but it was like so good. I was so thankful because like, okay, the ice is broken. Yeah. Like we're past this awkward part of our relationship. Yeah. Now I know some couples out there who are like, I will never do that in front of my spouse. And I don't know how you do that. I'm like, that more power to you. But what's y'all's status?
But I will say real quick, it was also kind of like the fart where you would thought a boat drove by because there's like
no,
a
you would not.
Like the dock was like, I was like looking down at like the water to see if like a, you know, the boat did not obey the no wake zone.
If you want more listeners on this podcast with you on it, you better stop TMIing it.
That's real. That's relatable.
I'm just kidding.
People say, yeah, I've done that to a dog.
Okay, before. Well, I was that girl that I like tried to convince Parker that I don't fart.
Oh, you're that girl.
I was that girl. I made it until engagement.
Maybe so.
Like, I made it a long time.
That is a long time.
We dated for, 8 months? Mm-hmm. So, like, halfway through engagement is when I like couldn't hide it anymore.
It was a hilarious story. One night we went to dinner with
my
best friend and his wife. And we're just like an Italian restaurant. Really good in Auburn.
So embarrassing.
Freddie's like, oh, I'm sick. I don't feel good. And we've been trying to get dinner with this couple forever. He's like, oh, my stomach just hurt. I think we ended up having to leave early because
I just wasn't talking. So like I was in so much pain. I was like, basically laying down in my chair. I was in so much pain.
What is going on?
And Parker was like mad because he was like, you're not talking to them. Like, it's my best friend. Like, why are you being so quiet?
This is the first time you go to dinner with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember getting dinner with y'all.
Second best friend.
And come to find out, her stomach was hurting so bad because she was holding in all her gas. Like, she would not fart at all around me to the point it literally made her sick.
It did.
Didn't eat dinner. She had to go home. She was nauseous.
When we got in the car, I genuinely thought Parker was going to take me to the hospital because I also didn't know what was going on with my stomach. I didn't know that was the reason.
I came to that point.
And then you like opened my car door, and while you're walking around, I farted and I felt a lot.
I bet you did.
Hey, there's like this stubbornness and pride to a woman that's like, I will it not.
Well,
and
there's a lesson in all this. There's a lesson.
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
So what the lesson is, the first time you two did it in front of us, farted, it was very audibly loud, right? So if you retract 6 months, you could have started with like a squeak. No. You know, you could have started with something subtle. You could have started, but you two are holding it in for years, and your poor stomach. Next time, it's like a whoopee cushion.
Maybe Just go ahead and start.
No, I'm saying that's my advice of like, if you're ever nervous, just embrace it. Yeah, just a little squeak. Just a little subtle toot.
Try.
Or else you're holding it for so loud. And then it's a noticeably.
Freddie's like, I did squeak. It was not noticeable. No one remembers.
Do you remember the first time?
I really don't.
We're at the lake. And we had made it all the way through dating and engagement. And I was really good. Whenever Parker would be like, oh, you just farted, I'd be like, no, I don't do that. Like, I was very quick to, like, deny that I did it.
Lies.
Wow. Not lie.
Just not
lie. Not lie. But we were at the lake, and we were outside, and we were in the middle of a really deep conversation.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I farted, and I didn't, like same thing. It just, like, kind of happened. And Parker was like, I got really flustered, but Parker didn't even know I farted. I gave myself up. I was like, oh, I just farted. Like, I like, you know, said
he
it
had
so
to
quickly.
Say it.
And we just started dying laughing because it was literally the first time I farted.
In a deep conversation. Sometimes I think that, like, God gives you, like, why would we fart, right? I think God gave us that to laugh in hard times.
Which, ready to help you. God. It says the average person farts 3,500 to 7,000 times per year.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot.
Just throwing that number out there.
Give us some confidence.
Thank you. You are potentially farting 7,000 times a year.
So everybody does it.
It's tough to disguise 7,000 slip-ups. I will say.
That is true. All right, now that we spent 10 minutes on our gas issues, but we're giving freedom to people out there, okay? Right. There are girls who are about to drive to the hospital with stomach pains that just need to let it go. Yeah. And there are some girls who are starting a new relationship. Just go ahead and let it out, as Christian said.
What did you say? Squeak?
Just a little squeak.
A little squeak. Hey, they didn't look at us any different.
That's right.
Or maybe they did.
I didn't look at you any different.
You still married me.
Yep.
So that's great. All right, this is a lot deeper of a conversation, and I have my phone out because all these questions were sent to us from you guys in the DMs. So we are taking it to the DMs because we want to make sure that we're answering questions that truly are relatable to y'all. I'm sure the first question someone DM'd, we just didn't find it. But this is actually a really good question. And like I said, taking a little bit of a deeper turn, but it said, how do you mend trust that has been broken in dating phases, or do you just let it go? In marriage, how do you maintain trust? And I'm sure we both have stories of trust being broken and mending it and all the things, but y'all want to go first?
Yeah, I was trying to think of in our dating relationship when trust was maybe rocky. And I thought of that one time where I had a friend from, like, just we went on a mission trip together and he was a little bit older, truly was only a friend. But when Parker and I started getting really serious, he had called me and I had told him over the phone, like, yeah, we're really serious. We're talking about, engagement coming up. And in my eyes, it was like, this is just a friend, you know, this is nothing, has never been more than a friend, has been like almost like an older brother to me. And when Parker found out, he was really hurt, obviously, but it took me a little while of just him explaining to me like why that was so hurtful. And also I had to receive like, okay, I was in the wrong for that. And to rebuild trust in that moment, it looked like cutting off communication with that person, not to be like mean or, you know, Parker wasn't being rude to say like, hey, this would help our relationship. This is what this looks like moving forward. But it was like, this is respectful to me. This is respectful to our relationship. And if we are going to get married, like, you don't need to have friends of the opposite sex. That is more than our relationship. Like, the four of us are friends, and that's great, but never would it go past that of, like, the four of us.
Yeah.
You know, and so that
you
needed.
You would call Christian just to catch up.
Exactly. There's a boundary. Yeah. There's such a boundary. That would be weird.
That would be so strange. And even, like, I think all of us are really good at, if I was to have to text Parker, I would text the both of you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just respecting people's relationship.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I know for you, like, that was really hurtful for you. I remember that whole day, like, I actually had to go babysit that night. And I was so nervous because also in my mind, I was like, man, is he going to break up with me because of this? Like, how much did this hurt him? And it made me really nervous. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been really easy in those nerves to kind of shut down and defend myself. Mm-hmm. But I wanted our relationship to work so bad that I was willing to say, okay, I was in the wrong and I'm really sorry and I'm willing to do whatever needs to mend this trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like for both of us, we both had things that happened to us in our past that made trust difficult, mm-hmm. right? Like in that situation, like I had past relationships where a similar thing happened, you know, much worse, yeah. right? Where I had been cheated on and trust was broken. So it made that even more sensitive. Mm-hmm. So I think to your question, it makes it even more important to not just ignore it, but to make sure you're working on that. And then when you're dating, especially as an individual, like how I need to heal from that. Why do I have trust issues? Yeah. Because when you get to marriage, if you're still, I mean, you're still going to need to deal with trust and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But the earlier on you can start working through those things, I think that really helps.
Yeah, for sure.
What you don't deal with in your dating relationships will go into your marriage. And I think so many people think, well, when we're married, I'll just trust him because I have the ring on my finger because he's wearing the ring because people know we're married. But it doesn't work like that.
When I have a baby, it'll be.
Yeah, you always think like in the next stage, it'll like solidify us more to the world and I won't be as jealous or I won't have trust issues. But those things come from such a deep place inside that putting a ring on your finger doesn't change everything, you know? Yep. It's really about the relationship that you build and the trust that you build. And we had, you know, our Rocky one, which we've shared the story so many times, so I won't share the whole story.
Yes.
But I will share what came from that is like...
Who's in the wrong?
Well, not necessarily. I was in the wrong too for being so uptight about it.
Who initiated
But you were in the wrong Thank for you. Not telling me Thank where you. You were at. Thank and you. Then... lying about the picture.
Let's just continue on.
Hey, I was trying to be nice though and say I was in the wrong too. And in some ways I was because I went crazy about it. But I'll tell you also I went crazy about it because I was the same way as y'all. Like I had things in my past that had happened where, you know, the person who wouldn't tell me where they were and then I would literally see pictures of them on Instagram taking pictures with girls at a bar because they recognized him as my boyfriend, you know, and you know, more well-known people that had dated that they thought they could lie where they were at, but they are recognizable. So people post, people talk
we didn't
about
have
it.
Find My Friends back then.
Yeah. But we didn't have Find My Friends, but Find My Friends was your tagged photos on Instagram at the time. And so I would find out these things and it would be so hurtful because they would lie. They'd be like, oh, I'm studying. And then they would actually be there. And so whenever I saw that picture, like was like, oh my gosh, like, is he doing this to me? Is like, can I trust him? And then it was really hard for me to gain trust back. And I was like so uptight. And remember the time that
I remember that.
This is so embarrassing, but I'll tell you like,
bonefish?
This is like how like crazy you can go if you don't work out like your trust stuff.
This was 2 months after we got engaged.
Yes.
So I honestly kind of had the thought of like, she's got a ring on her finger, you know?
Yeah. Like she knows like,
but at this point we were way past that stuff
and whatnot, but still like it, I guess it just hit a nerve. So most of the time Christian would always like tell me where he was, what he's up to. And he just like forgot to tell me that, which is not a big deal. He didn't have to tell me this.
Sadie did not text me back like 2 hours before and I was with my family. So we ended up going to dinner and I did not tell her we were going to dinner. Cause I was like, she didn't text me back. Like she'll like when she texts me.
Totally reasonable. Like, there's nothing wrong with what he did. Nothing that you did was wrong.
When you text me back, I'll say, hey, by the way, I'm going to dinner. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like, cause I knew you were busy with your family. So I didn't feel like being like, hey, by the way, I'm going to dinner with my parents. Cause like I'm with my parents.
And we actually didn't have a relationship where we had to tell each other everything. It wasn't even like that. So he did nothing wrong in this scenario. I'm just really pointing out the ugly that comes out of you whenever you don't fix your trust problems. Mm-hmm. So I look at Find My Friends and I see Christian's at like Bonefish Grill.
I'm confused why you checked my friends before you texted me.
I thought I did text you. Anyways, I think I did text you. I think you've forgotten that part. That was like 4 years ago.
I can scroll back. And
look. 4 years back. It'll take you a year. Anyways, but it wasn't even Bonefish Grill. Like it was like the comments area or wherever you were.
But we were
like,
at Bonefish.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. It was kind of like this like outdoor shopping mall. And I was just like freaked out immediately. I was like, what did you tell me? And like, I just assumed that you were with like friends from high school or like I don't know why. Like my mind just like went there. Okay, but I'm telling you, this is just what my mind went. And I was just like, he didn't want to tell me because like he is back with like his old friends or like like your cousins are awesome. But y'all can do like crazy stuff together. And I was just like, what are they doing? And why didn't he tell me? Y'all can't. Y'all just funny, like funny stuff. But you never know. So I was just like, what are they doing? And I just like freak out. And I was like way ridiculous. I like called you ridiculous amount of times. Like I think his parents were like worried that you were marrying me, yeah. Because at that moment, not really, but they were like, this is a problem. Like, yeah. y'all need to fix this. And I was just like, man, honestly, like, I just really have a trust problem. Like, this has happened in my past. I'm so scared this happening again. You would think that like having a ring on my finger would help me, but it actually makes me more nervous because mm-hmm. now I'm about to step into a lifetime with you. Like, is there something I'm missing? Like, I was like mm-hmm. seeking like the thing that was going to be like, that's it. Yeah. Like, that's the problem. Or right. this is the thing. When there was nothing wrong, like, you had given me every reason to trust you. You had been honest with me. You had been open with me. There's no reason for that. And that really kind of woke me up to, like, I need to get help. Because yeah. for the longest time, like, with trust, you can blame it on the other person. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it really is you.
Yeah.
And it really is your past stuff. And so mm-hmm. we worked through a lot of that. And our premarital counseling was awesome. And we, like, really went there and worked through past relationships mm-hmm. and family stuff and whatnot, and it set us up for success. And honestly, I think throughout our marriage, I've been super trusting. I haven't been like a jealous wife, a distrusting wife. I mm-hmm. have really trusted you the whole time, and it's not because we got married, it's because yeah. we worked on those things. Yeah, and so to be 2 months engaged and be that bad, and then to step into marriage and be this healthy, mm-hmm. I think that shows that you really can change.
Yeah, but I will say too, even like with both of our stories, you know, like with you having some of those issues and like with them and you having some of those issues, it also took like this from what we just shared, like me and Freddie, like we had to be consistent after that point. If like 2 weeks later, Freddie did the same thing, then it would have yeah. been like, oh, well, clearly you did not receive the message when I was like, hey, this actually really hurts my feelings. And same thing with you. If it's like, mm-hmm. if I didn't tell you again where I was at, then you saw it again or whatever, then it's like, well, clearly he didn't take me that seriously. So there comes a point where after this yeah, breach of trust, yeah. like there has to be a consistent pattern of mm-hmm. like acknowledging what mm-hmm. the other person needs to mend what mm-hmm. was, right. you know, like, I guess you could say fractured in a moment. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then like you said, with defensive, like I have a problem with being defensive. So I could have gotten, well, I kind of did get defensive in that moment, but I could have stayed defensive to where it's like, you know, I don't really acknowledge that, yes, I was in the wrong when I did this, and just keep having like those walls up to where I kind of don't take what you said as seriously as it was kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think just having consistent patterns after you, you know, kind of breach that trust and to mend it back, because mm-hmm.
that's good.
You can always have that outlook of like, well, you should just trust me. But it's like, mm-hmm. if I'm not displaying patterns of trustworthy behavior, then you're not going to just trust me because I'm telling you to trust me.
Yes. Right. I've been in relationships where words like, you should just trust me, or I'm sorry, like lose its power because I'm yeah. like, well, I can't trust you because you've given me no reason to, or you yeah. say you're sorry, but I know you're going to do it again tomorrow. Like, yeah. Yeah. you know, so words matter and they mm-hmm. carry weight, and you have to see the action behind them. And I love yeah. that you said that about, it does go both ways with trust. Like for the person that broke trust, you have to be intentional about mending the trust. For the person that's trust was broken, you have to be intentional about forgiving. And yeah. mm-hmm. I love that verse. It's like very convicting where it says, love keeps no record of wrong. You know, there comes a point where it's like, mm-hmm. I can't keep bringing this up. Like right. a broken record. We call honey a broken record right now, because if she says a sentence, she'll say it 10 more times. It's like the first time she's ever said bracelet. And she's like, bracelet, 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 bracelet. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But like, that's how we are in relationships yeah. sometimes. They're like, yeah. you did this. You didn't tell me where you were. You didn't tell me where. It's like, I get it. I didn't tell you where I was, you know, but like, mm-hmm. stop bringing it up again. Like, when are you going to forgive, you know? And so I think it does go both ways.
Yeah.
It's good.
And it's not controlling either. I think yeah. like when the person that has the trust that's been broken on their end to like ask for, okay, can you text me? Okay, can you not cut off conversation with that person? It's not like out of a controlling heart. It's out of like, this is my need. Like what you're saying, Christian, that's so good.
Yeah, I love that. Because that's the thing. Like if I was literally, you have to always tell me where you're at, that gets controlling.
Yeah.
But if I'm like, hey, if you're going to something that you know I would want to know about, you know, mm-hmm. if there's going to be girls there that are our age or whatever, like, college, it was like, totally. You know, not even parties, but just like hangouts. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to know, like bonfires, just let me know, yeah. you know, and you always let me know about those things. And mm-hmm. so it shouldn't have bothered me when you're there at dinner with your family, but that just shows you how deep something can be. And
sometimes my friend's not completely accurate. So.
It's true. It did not say bonefish.
Get better at that, Apple.
I know. When it said bonefish, maybe I wouldn't have freaked out.
Figure it out.
I needed to get that ugly out so we could work on it. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we're going to move on to literally talking about moving, because a lot of people, especially in their 20s, are in times of their life where they're having to move or have just moved, and not just 20s, all ages, but particularly people our age, and we've all had to move, you know. I've moved to Nashville, moved to Auburn, we moved back here. You guys have moved, you moved from Dallas to Auburn to Monroe, you moved to Monroe, you've moved, we've all moved, okay? So we know the challenges with moving and the excitement with moving, all of it. So I want to ask y'all, when you got to the point of moving, whether it was to Auburn or to here, did y'all have like a piece to go there? What made y'all be like, okay, I can make this decision to make this giant step of moving somewhere?
Yeah, I would say I definitely had peace about it, but at the same time, it still felt like there's still the fear, like, oh, okay, I gotta leave. Like for me, it was my hometown, everything that I love, the church, friends, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So yes, I knew God was clearly calling us here. That was very clear to me. And he's continuing to affirm that, but mm-hmm. it was still hard. So yeah. Like kind of what we said before, it's this is also you feel that uneasiness doesn't mean it's not what God's calling you to do. Yes, you can have that peace from him, but then also have like, hey, we're humans. We're going to mm-hmm. struggle with fear or questioning like what's going on.
Yep.
So that's how I felt about it. Coming good. Here at least.
And it definitely didn't happen overnight that we felt peace about it.
Definitely.
Like I think, and it was also very different for both of us to getting to the place of peace.
Mm-hmm.
I felt peace way before Parker did. And I had to sit on that and not convince him that the Lord yeah. was telling us. Like I had to wait for the Lord to reveal that to Parker yeah. in his own time, because I knew if it really was the Lord speaking to me, he would also speak that to Parker. And I think that made it even more affirming, because it wasn't like I was trying to convince Parker, this is what the Lord's telling us to do. Like yeah. he also had that peace. And for us to, what was it, 6 months of mm-hmm. like really wrestling? Like it took a while. And I think that's something that you don't want to take a while, as like the Lord telling you where to go and mm-hmm. where to move to. But I'm glad it did, because we were so in tune with what he said in Auburn mm-hmm. that we have gotten that confirmation mm-hmm. even being here.
Yep. It's so good that you take that time, because then once you get here and you go through some of those shaky times and just the heartache of, and the reality of, oh, I just moved, knowing mm-hmm. like, okay, we took 6 months to think about this, to yeah. pray about this. It wasn't like a rash decision. Right. And some moves are rash decisions because you got a job and they needed you next yeah. week, you know, yeah, and that's one thing. That's but just to be able to have that affirmation of like, I'm supposed to be here is mm-hmm. so good. And I love what you said, that just because you had peace doesn't mean you didn't also have like sadness. And I think that and fear, mm-hmm. because I think some people are like, oh, well, if I feel fear, feel sad, or if it feels heavy, like, is that yeah. really God? But yes, like that's being human, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, and I know y'all have talked about it. Freddie, we talked about this a little bit, but it was almost like you had this initial piece of like, yes, like I'm going. Mm-hmm. And then you got here and it was like the reality of, oh, I'm in like a new place.
Yeah.
So how do you stay planted in the times of where it doesn't like feel good and exciting?
Yeah. It's really hard, honestly, because when you, for me moving here, it was like the newness and the excitement and the new job and the new friends. And we're in a mm-hmm. house, like all these fun, exciting things. And then a couple months go by and like the newness wears off. And then it's like, okay, this is home now, and how do you make it home? And Parker really just had to continue to, because he didn't have that experience. He was like pretty steady. He's really steady. I'm not as steady, but he was like
classic.
He was like, you, yeah. You need to like continue to just be all in and not be so reserved. And we kind of touched on that, but you really encouraged me to just, like you said, be all in and not yeah. dip your toe in the water.
Yeah. Which I think is key to moving. You really absolutely. Do have to be all in, because, you know, we've had people move here for jobs and move away rather quickly. And I think it comes from this place of like they never were all in. Mm-hmm. If you come here like complaining about something, then I feel like those complaints, like that's just all you can see. And we talked mm-hmm. about this, like it's okay to be real. Like, hey, this is the reality of where I'm at. But it's different when you're like saying like, oh, this is the reality of where I'm at. And this is me complaining yeah. with where I'm at, because yes. there's a true yeah. reality to this is hard, or this is sad, or I miss my friends, or this feels new, or, mm-hmm. you know, this feels mundane now in certain sense. And then there's a difference in being like, you know, I hate the grocery stores here. I hate the this. I hate the that. And like some of it's funny and you can joke about that. And this is true. We don't have good grocery stores here. But
that's a very cheesy
that is true. But the more you get fixated on that, then it's like, well, if I lived here, then I wouldn't have to, then I could have Trader Joe's. Or if I lived here, then I could have this. Or if I lived here. And the more you think about that, and that will get you to literally moving from here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like you miss all the like joys of where you're at of like, whoa, like I forgot. Why did I move here in the first place? Not for that. I moved here because this is where God had me, you know? And so I think it is important not to like get fixated on all the negatives of where you're at and just try to focus on the positive. Mm-hmm. But I get asked all the time, how does Christian feel about living in Monroe? And if you would have rather lived somewhere else?
That's good. I did not know that you got many questions.
I actually do. That. People ask me that all the time.
Well, people don't know. So when I was young, I actually moved from Niceville to Destin, back to Niceville. And then I moved from Niceville to Auburn. And then
by
Auburn.
The way, if you don't know Niceville to Destin, that's about a 20-minute drive.
And they're like right next to each other. And then I moved from Auburn to here. But even like when I went to college, I was leaving my family, which was tough because I was super close with them. But I was like 3 hours away from them. I had no friends from high school, really. So it wasn't like I was leaving these friendships where I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss my friends. Because I didn't like have any friends post high school. So when I got to college, it took me a little bit to get in plugged in like a good community. So that was kind of crazy when I first got to college. And then post college, I mean, I really don't know if my moving experience would be different moving here, like if COVID was never a thing, like if I graduated and then moved here when life was still normal, you know, because when we moved here in March, right when COVID hit, and it was like life in Auburn, I think, would have felt the same as it did moving here. And the same, like life in Florida would have felt the same because you weren't leaving your house. You couldn't travel. You weren't doing anything.
And everybody was in the same boat.
And everyone in the
world.
All
your friends from Auburn were also in their houses.
Like billions of people were in the same boat, like quarantining, don't like not leaving. And I'm very, like Freddie said about Parker, I'm a very consistent person. So even like when COVID kind of became not a thing and everything was kind of lifted, if I like have a gym that I like, a coffee shop I like, and a restaurant that I like, I'm very content.
It's true. I struggled more moving back here than you
like,
did.
Like everything feels the same for me. Yeah. If I'm like, I got like every day I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to probably go to the same. I'm probably going to go to Chick-fil-A.
He's always like, what am I going to eat for lunch today? I'm like, are you kidding?
And I'm probably going to go to the same like coffee shop. I'm very like routine. So it's not like, if I have my things, it feels the same whatever city I'm in kind of thing. But it did take us, because obviously we got really close with your family when we first moved here, because that was really all you could do. And we didn't have much community outside of that. It took about a year, like when we actually started having Bible studies and stuff. But I don't know. I'm like, I could be hanging out with a ton of people or just you.
Yeah,
and
you're consistent with that.
I'm very
consistent. Maybe it's a girl thing that it's a little bit harder. Because I always said this when people asked me that question. I'm like, honestly, he was better about it than I was. And I guess because, I don't know, whenever I lived in Nashville, I really thought I was probably going to be there for the long run because my work was there, my team was there, my friends were there. It didn't feel super far from home, even though it was. I mean, I guess it was like 7.5-hour drive and a flight, two flights. But I don't know, it still just felt like the South and didn't feel like that crazy. And all of a sudden, I just kind of started feeling not like that was going to be home forever. When we moved to Auburn, we both started feeling a little bit more drawn to moving to West Monroe, which we had previously talked about living in Asheville. And then we both kind of started feeling called to Monroe when you actually said that before I even did, too, which helped me. I was like, okay, wow, this is crazy. And we both felt that like deeply in us. It was more than just like, oh, we want to move to Monroe. It was almost like we felt very like pushed to move to Monroe, and in a good way. We're like, oh, this is something, there's something there that we want to be a part of, that we want to pray into, that we want to believe for. And there was it actually made more sense maybe to be in Nashville. And I was thinking about this last night with God, that normally it's the thing that doesn't make sense that God's in than the thing that does make sense. And there's like, there's sometimes where you look at things, you're like, well, this just makes more sense. And it's normally the thing that doesn't make as much sense.
Absolutely.
Because I think if you feel a call towards something that doesn't make sense, that I'm like, why would that not be God? Yeah. You know, like, because that's not me. Like, this is not me. Yep. And so we move here and we, you know, face, like Christian said, it took about a year to make friends. And that was really hard for me because I love friendships. I love community. And that just felt hard, you know? And I remember telling my parents, it's like, I don't know if we're ever going to make friends here. Like, I don't know how to make friends. Like, we've tried, put ourselves out there. We got plugged into the young adult ministry at church and it just like wasn't happening at all. It always felt a little bit forced. And then all of a sudden we started praying for that. I mean, we prayed for that and then God just kind of brought it. Like, you guys moved here. Some of our, one of our friends married one of my friends, you know, Reeves and Lydia, and some of you guys know Reeves and Lydia from the podcast, and then Grace and Bryant, Bella and Jay, it just kind of like happened, and it was so sweet, and I feel like sometimes it's like we move before it gets good, you know, you have to stay planted somewhere, you have to water the ground, let the roots grow, and when I think back to like the year of us not having a lot of friends, we spent so much time together, which in hindsight was really sweet, especially since we had honey so fast in our marriage. Like, it was really sweet to have that year together. And all of our pictures of our dates that we did during quarantine and stuff, it's like, okay, that's actually really sweet. Yeah. So again, like not focusing on, oh, I don't have friends, but focusing on like, what do I have in this?
Yeah.
But that can be hard. And for all of those who are listening who don't have community, we're not saying that's not hard, but the being patient and praying and stuff, God really does just kind of have a way of everything working out.
Yeah.
Okay. So someone asked a great question. We both do this in our homes. And someone said, how to host a Bible study for your friend group in your home. Freddie is the hostess with the mostest. Yeah, she throws a good party. So tell us what hosting looks like for y'all.
I love hosting. I've always loved hosting.
It involves sweets.
It always involves sweets. That's really how you get people into your home.
That's right.
Food and community is a good combo. But I really, this sounds funny, but it's so practical for me. Like when I ask people to come over or we're hosting, it's like, I want them to feel at home. And that doesn't mean like everything needs to be perfectly clean. It just needs to be comfortable.
That's
like,
good.
I just want people to feel comfortable. And if they have a lot going on, they can open up. Or if they just want to like goof around, we can just goof around. You know, it's like, there's no set way to host people, but it's just creating an environment and a space where whatever needs to happen can happen and just like allowing the Lord to kind of have that. But I also love like taking care of people in that way. Like I love having cookies when people come over, chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
Parker loves that.
And you make some good cookies.
Yeah,
Christian's always like, do you think Freddie will make cookies if she comes over? I'm like, you can ask her.
And that's like, very people likely. Always are like, you don't have to if you don't want to. Parker's dad is always like, you don't have to, but if you want to. And the thing is I genuinely love it because I just love, like, I love doing that for people. It's like a way for me to bless people and like a love language for me to love others is like, provide them with cookies, as funny as it sounds.
Well, it always makes people happy. Everybody wants a cookie.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. That is practical. And I think that's the thing with hosting. Like, don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Like, be practical about it. Make cookies. Invite people over. You don't have to have a perfectly clean house, but a comfortable home is like what people just want to come hang.
Yeah.
People just want to hang.
Yeah.
And Parker, you're good at getting the grill going.
Yeah. I like to grill. Everybody likes a good steak or some chicken and things like that. And our pastor from Oliver Miles, he always talks about like communities, like common memory with other people, you know? So I just like, let's just come over and like a memory doesn't have to be some crazy trip we go on, you know, it can just be, hey, we came and hung out together. And because we did that, somebody ended up opening up and we prayed for them or whatever that is. And
so
kind of like what you were saying, it takes time to get that. Like if you move somewhere and you're there for 6 months, you're probably not going to have many memories with people because it's just a short amount of time. But if you actually commit, I mean, to me, practically, if you have to give it at least a year of doing that, to really give it a good shot.
It's true.
And I will say too, even like with doing a Bible study, I think there's a beautiful thing about like having something planned, but then also just kind of like letting the night happen.
Yeah.
Like we have a Bible study every Wednesday and I would say 75% of the time we do a Bible study and the 25% is like, we end up having deep conversations about something
or
else.
Just goofy.
Or we just end up playing a game in the house and just doing life with one another. So I think sometimes we can kind of be rigid with it, like, oh, this is Bible study tonight, and it's going to be all about Bible study. And it can be less about community and more about like the Bible, which is an awesome thing. But sometimes it can feel like you said, forced or kind of like you're rigid with it. Instead of like just doing life with one another, then it's like, oh yeah, we're doing Bible study.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we won't start a Bible study till like 10 o'clock or 9:30. And it's like, this is a little late because everyone got here at 6:37, whatever. But it's just the fun part of doing life. And I think sometimes like
fellowship.
Yeah, it's just fellowship. Yes, you host a Bible study and if you do the Bible study, awesome. But also it's not like the night, you know, you chalk it up as a loss if you don't study the Bible, if you end up just having deep conversations.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing about hosting too. Like, don't put too much expectation on what it has to happen when your friends are over. Yeah. Just like let it happen. And I think with our Bible study, ours is really simple because we don't try to put too much pressure on anybody. And so we watch a sermon. It's like that simple on YouTube. We pull it up and then we talk about it and then we pray together. And it's like really powerful. But then some nights we are just like more goofy. And I love what you shared about. It's like a common memories. And I think of some of our like memories and like we have a group text and it's literally called Mary J. Blige. And every time I just like see it pop up, it makes me laugh so hard because one night we were watching TikToks of like when they were doing that thing. It was like so-and-so died and the moms would freak out and all these people were like, Mary J. Blige died. And they're like, not Mary. And we thought it was like so funny. But like some of those memories are just like the best where you just start laughing together. And I will say like for friendships, one thing that I've found like really helpful is don't compare like your new friendships to your old friendships because you have to remember your old friendships, you had time with them.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes it's like, you know, I'm coming from these 5-year friendships, 4-year friendships from college. Mm-hmm. Then you move and you know someone for a month and you're like, why aren't we hitting it off? It's like, because you just met them.
Yeah.
Because you just started hanging out with them, you know? And, you know, when I think back to how those other friendships started, I'm like, oh, that started the same way, you know? And we've all gotten so comfortable with each other. We've kind of like hit that mark. But I do feel like it does take time. And it's so important you don't compare what you're coming from to where you're at. Because that's not fair to anyone to put that expectation on them.
And I'm so guilty of that. I do have to admit. I am that person that I just... Obviously, I'm a counselor. Like, that's just part of my nature. Parker always says, like, I'm more deep than the average person just because, like, that's what I love. So it is hard for me because I'm like, well, we didn't have the deepest conversation the second time we hung out. And so we must not have a friendship.
Yeah.
But I really do just have to, like, slow down and say to myself, like, I've had conversations with friends from college. And one of my friends, Maggie, she made a really good point. She was like, your friends in college were not only your friends, they were your sisters, they were your moms, they were every part of your community.
Yes.
And you lived with them. Like, they went through heartbreak with you. They went through transitioning to a new place and a new town and like all these new things. And so you can't expect that to look the same in marriage because you have that with your person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that friendships aren't important. Friendships are so important, but just your need of them does change.
Yes.
And that's okay. And I think that's hard post-grad to realize that, but even more so when you add like all of your friends getting married after college, that also brings a new challenge too.
That is so true because different season friendships are going to look different ways. You know, when you get married, that's so true. It's like your friendships are going to look the same as when you lived with all your girlfriends. That's so different. Or when you live with your guys and it's like the same when you have a baby. It's like then that adds a whole new element to it. And so, yes, friendships are important, but as far as, like, the priority of time you spend with your friends, well, your husband begins to take that place, and your kids begin to that place, and then, you know, you add that because it's beautiful, and you need that, and you love that, but it is just different than it used to be, you know, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was more so the struggle in the first year, is I was like, why do I not have these friends like I just came from? But it's because I live with those friends, and, like, you're my friend, you know, and so you just have to, like, you not put the pressure on yourself to like maintain all of these relationships, you know? But man, anybody else have anything to add? I feel like this is a good conversation.
Great. Boy, that was really good.
Whoa, that was good. Whoa, that's good. We laughed, we cried, we had all the variety.
As Jason Aldean once said, we laughed until we cried.
We laughed until we did do that. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed this podcast. And as always, Parker and Freddie, we love having you on the podcast. This is so fun. And we'll continue to have them on. And so keep sending in questions that you have for them as we continue on having them on, whether it's about relationships, moving, friendships. Freddie's a counselor, so you can go deep. You can ask any question you want to her. I like to hit her with some hard stuff sometimes too. And so we hope that you guys have a great week. I hope this was a great start to your week. And we love you.
Friendships, farts, faith, and fighting.
Is that your clickbait?
Yeah.